So if I were writing or giving this parable, I would probably change a few of the details. In terms of the seed that was sown on the path, I would say it sprouted, grew about 10 inches tall, and then the deer ate it. The seed that fell on rocky soil, it sprouted, grew about 10 inches tall, and the deer ate it. The seed that was sown among the thorns, I would say it was sown on ground that looked good, came back a week later and the thistles were 8 feet tall and the deer hadn't eaten them. And then, of course, the seed on good soil, well, the weeds got them. So my experience of gardening is exactly that. You plant something, and if the deer like it, the deer eat it. If the deer don't like it, the thistles take over, unless you're highly vigilant. And the whole time, you still have to weed like crazy, because within a week, the weeds take over, especially July and August, right? It gets hot out, doesn't rain as much, the plant doesn't want to grow, and the weeds love it. So you can tell that the Lord and we are in different parts of the world in terms of how this parable works. But it's the same message, right? In our first reading, we hear the fact that the Lord lets the rain and the sun shine upon and fall upon all. The Lord is generous in the giving of his grace. And we see and hear that in the parable. The sower indiscriminately sows seed. Anyone who has done any amount of seeding in terms of their yard and everything else would be fully aware of where the seed's going to do well and where it's not. And you'd actually be careful to not seed the sidewalk, to not get the seed into your flower beds, and to keep it fairly close to the margins of where you hope for it to grow. If you're seeding your lawn, you're not spreading seed everywhere indiscriminately. And yet that's the exact image that the Lord gives us, that the sower went out to sow and threw seed everywhere. So the first part of the parable tells us of the Lord's generosity. The second part, though, is a little disturbing. For the Lord says to them, the apostles, when they ask, he says, to anyone who has, more will be given, he will grow rich. From anyone who has not, even what he has will be taken away. The apostles are puzzled by the fact that the Lord speaks to the crowd in parables the people don't understand, and the Lord is seemingly all right with that, and to a certain degree judgmental about their ability to see and hear and understand who it is that's in their presence. So what would account for that? Well, this is my opinion, so you can put it right on that level of, you know, surety or doctrinal certitude. This is just my opinion. But I think in the early community, the Matthean community that would have heard this gospel, they would have been aware that to hear and to see was not the same as to walk with. So the Lord says, it's been given to you to understand. And the subtext of that would be, because you walk with me, you live with me, so you can understand. Because the seed that's sown into the person's heart is not simply a teaching, it's not a doctrine, it is not the Torah, it's not the law, it's not an ethical code, it's a relationship with the God-man, the Christ, with a person. And so you, the apostles, you now walk with me, so you can understand, because you live with. The people there do not yet have the opportunity to live with. They will get that opportunity. When Pentecost is experienced by the apostles and other disciples, they go out and preach, and the church is alive in the world. Now it is possible for those who had previously heard to now walk with Christ in the Spirit, in the midst of the church. And because of that, the next line comes in. where he says, to anyone who has, more will be given, and he will grow rich. From anyone who has not, even what he has will be taken away. So once the opportunity to walk with is there, if you walk with the Lord, you grow rich. If you do not walk with the Lord, if you hesitate, if you're intermittent, even what little you have will shrink and eventually die. It is not a neutral game. We either, as Christians, we continually walk deeper and deeper with the Lord, or our heart constricts, contracts, grows weak, and the faith grows feeble within us. So the whole image of weeding, of protecting, if you put flowers out in your front yard and you live in one of these subdivisions, how vigilant are you to keep the deer from eating them? What are you willing to do to protect your tomato plants from the deer chewing them down to the nub? What do you do in terms of weeding? How often do you actually, if you have a garden, say, I need to go out and weed the garden? How often would you go out to pick the produce? It's a daily thing. If you have a large garden, if you have flowers and other things that you want to see do well, you give it your attention. It is kind of a daily thing that helps form part of your life. With the gospel, it's a slightly different thing. It's not just a daily thing that forms part of your life. It's that which forms the whole of our life. So the gospel encourages us to live with the Lord, to walk with the Lord. And in doing so, to allow the word that is sown into our hearts to grow. But it only comes about by living with, walking with, being diligent in the faith, which is to know the person of Jesus Christ and to open our hearts to him. To anyone who has, more will be given, and he will grow rich. And the Lord desires that all of us be rich.